Now, the second point from 2 Peter is very important. Peter confirms that the writing of Paul is Scripture. Did you see that when we read that? He confirms the apostleship of Paul. Look again at verse 15 and 16 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Because it's important. Peter's writing, and we were talking about the count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother, Paul, also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Who gave him wisdom? God gave him wisdom. Paul wrote, just like that, as he does in, look at verse 16, all his letters, when he speaks of them in these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Paul, in his letters, in fact, in all of his letters, is like the other scriptures. Because Paul's letters are scripture. And Peter the Apostle makes that clear. So everybody here who thinks that you are only reading the four Gospels and then what Jesus says is the stuff I follow, what Paul says is the stuff we should follow too. There is no division between Pauline theology and the red letters in your Bible. In fact, there are groups of people who say, I'm a red letter Christian, and they're not interested in the other stuff. But Peter, who followed Jesus, Peter, who told all of his story to Mark, who wrote you the Gospel of Mark, which most people will say is Peter's gospel, right? Peter says about Paul, that's the stuff right there. See, Paul, I shake his hands in front of you. You know, when Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house, you have a question about whether you're going to invite them into your house. Because when they leave your house and go to the next door, they're going to say, I was just with your neighbor. But do you have fellowship with them? Because they are bringing a gospel that says Jesus is not divine. And we've been talking about that here. Jesus is not God. But Peter says, what Paul is saying, that's true. I've got something to do with Paul. I'll write it to you guys. It's scripture. And that's important, I think, as we go and we look at the book of Romans this morning. Let's look at what Paul has to say in the letter to the Romans. So you turn in your Bibles to Romans, which is right there after the book of Acts. So all the other books in between the people's names are letters written by Paul. And Romans is the first letter written by Paul that the Bible includes. Now, people debate whether this letter's from Paul or that letter's from Paul. Romans is not one of those. Romans is testified to by the early church fathers and by everybody since. So, although lately some people will say, oh, I don't know about Romans, but they're wrong. And so you can, as you turn to Romans, know that it's in your Bible for a reason. Now, Paul is probably writing in the late 50s, right? So that's going to be 20, 25 years after the resurrection of Christ. Picture that. He's on his third missionary journey when he writes this letter to the Romans. So remember in the book of Acts when Paul was traveling here to there to there to there to there and he's in Corinth and then he went back to Jerusalem, then he went up to Antioch. This is happening. He writes this letter while he's doing that third missionary journey. Okay, he's on his way back to Jerusalem. He's never been to Rome when he writes to the Romans. And yet, there's already churches there. Now, eventually, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be brought to Rome, but that hasn't happened yet. And we can tell all this from references within the letter to the Romans. You get all the answers to why the things that I said are true in the letter, and we'll go through the letter, and it'll confirm these things. Or you could Google it, and you can find any biblical introduction to the book of Romans. And just, you know, you have to be careful what you read on the internet, because people say some silly things on the internet, too. Or if you notice, you know, you read something this far, this far, this far, and then they say, and that's why we Latter-day Saints believe, and you go, oh, wait a minute, this is a Mormon website. They had a cross on it, but that's not Christian either. Right? So you need to know where you're getting your information. Bible Hub, Blue Letter Bible, Crossway Publishing, right? YouVersion, okay, on phone apps. So there's some internet resources if that's how you do your study. Here's Paul in Romans. in chapter 1, and I'm just going to read the introduction if it's all right. I think that'll be enough for us this morning because we're almost done. That was the first false ending to the sermon. Romans chapter 1. Who is it from? Paul. He always writes his name first so that you'll keep unrolling the scroll and read it, right? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Good news. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, folks, the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And I think we can just leave off at the point where Paul introduces himself. Paul's identity is that of a servant, literally a bond slave. He's a voluntary, lifetime employee of Jesus the Messiah. So slavery is not like kidnap slavery, drive a ship, rob people from their communities, put them on the ship, take them somewhere else, and sell them. That's kidnapping. The Bible says the penalty for kidnapping into slavery is death. Nowhere in the Bible is slavery like that supported. But people work for life. Do you remember they used to say that about the Japanese? If you work for a Japanese corporation, it was employment for life. And even that's breaking down there. So the idea was, here, you guys, you all have to go to work. If you don't go to work, try and buy food. Okay? You get to choose your master. You get to choose your master, and you get to choose, I don't want to work for this master anymore, I'll go work for that master anymore. But everybody works, and this slave that we're talking about here is somebody who works for a living, who says, I love working for you, I will work for you for life. You are good, I'm in, I'll sign the contract, and I'll never leave. Because if I leave, I'll be a homeless peasant starving on the street and begging. I have no means to provide for myself. I will work for you. Anybody else here a landless peasant who like needs what they have in order to stay? And you rent and you work to pay rent, or you work to pay a mortgage and it feels like you own a house, but really the bank owns your house? Okay? Try not showing up to work. It's a little bit slavery. I'm not railing against it. I like to work. I'll work. I work a lot. Sometimes I work too much. Sometimes I squeeze in work on the day off. I'm sorry, I'm saying it in front of others. Yeah. Literally a bond slave. And so you'll recognize that this is the same way that James introduced himself. Do you remember that? A slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. And Jude, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. The brothers of Jesus introduced themselves as servants of Christ. So does Paul. Servant of Christ. Jesus says that any of you who you go and you do your slaving, then when you come in from the field, and does your boss say, come here, have a seat, sit down at the table? Or would he rather say to him, hey, now make me supper. You work for me. And then after I've eaten, you can eat and drink. And does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? Or does he just say, you know, work. Jesus said to his disciples, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. Okay? So how many disgruntled Christians waiting for a pat on the back are there in the room today? Don't raise your hands. Why don't people recognize how much I do? Well, you do it to the Lord, but you do it in community with people, and we all do want to recognize and encourage and exhort one another, right? Not exalt one another, but exhort one another. But the Lord is who we're looking to and saying, hey, how am I doing? Now, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Do you remember that? And he put his clothes back on, and he said, do you understand what I've done for you? He said, you call me teacher and Lord, master, right? And you're right, for so I am. But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So are we helping each other the way that Jesus taught about servanthood, even though he's the Lord? I've given you an example that you should also do just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant, doulos, slave, like Paul introduced himself, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So Paul is a servant. We see that from the first line of Romans chapter 1.